Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Punk Rock NBA Podcast.
What's up, everybody? I am Finn McKenty. This is the Punk Rock NBA Podcast, and today's guest is Big Herc from the YouTube channel Fresh Out, Life After the Penitentiary. As you might guess from the name of it, it's a prison channel, or more accurately, a channel about life after prison. So he sits down with people who did like 5, 10, 20, or sometimes even 30 years, and talks to them about what they did with themselves after they got out. Because, you know, getting out of prison, it's a good thing, but in a lot of ways, it's kind of terrifying. Because you come out, this is a whole new world that you haven't been in for years and years and years, that you're in many ways unprepared for. And that's why you see so many people go back. But he talks to the people who don't go back. He talks to the people who have found a way to become successful and do something cool with their lives despite going through something as just shitty and fucked up and traumatizing as doing years in prison. I love what he has to say about like empowerment and believing in yourself, about taking ownership over your life and dropping the like poor me excuse making kind of attitude and all that shit that drives me nuts. As you might have seen, this is actually the audio from an interview I published with him a couple years ago on my YouTube channel, but I wanted to republish it here because this is just stuff people need to hear. I apologize, it's not the world's best audio because I did this outside. I was just working with the best I had at the time, so I apologize for that, but man, this is such an important conversation that I think people really need to hear. And one thing, just to kind of explain why I had him on and like why I'm into his channel. As some of you guys know, like if you watch some of my videos, like half my family is in corrections in one way or the other. My dad was a corrections officer for like 20 years. My stepmom worked at another facility across the street for sex offenders for like 20 years. My aunt worked at a juvenile facility. My cousin is more or less a parole officer. A bunch of my friends and training partners in jiu-jitsu are cops and sheriffs and correctional officers, stuff like that. I had a bunch of uncles that have done time for various things. So, you know, while other people were hearing about their dad coming home and talking about selling shoes or whatever normal kids' dads do for a living, my dad would talk about prison. So I didn't really realize how influential that was on me until much later in life. But it definitely was, and that's why I vibe so much with Herc's channel. So really excited to bring this to you guys. Hopefully you enjoy it as much as I did. Before I get into it, first I want to support everyone who supports us on Patreon. Without your support, we could not do this show. Second, of course, as always, I want to thank our very talented producer and editor, Deanna Chapman. If you've got a podcast that you want to get off the ground, or if you already have a podcast that you're doing and you just want to do it bigger and better, definitely hit her up. There's a link to her site in the show notes. And with that out of the way, let's get into it. I'm here with Big Herc from Fresh Out.
What's up?
One of my favorite YouTube channels I've been watching for probably like 4 or 5 years now. Congratulations on hitting 400,000 subscribers.
Hey, man, appreciate it.
Very impressive. So I guess I will describe your channel as I see it. You can tell me if I got it right. So to me, the channel is about, although you call it like, oh, well, people call it a prison channel. To me, it's not really about prison. It's about self-improvement. Mm-hmm. You talk to people who have done, you know, 10, 20, sometimes even 30 years, and then got out and have done cool things with their lives. So to me, that's part of it that resonates with me. So that's kind of my impression of the channel. What did I, you know, did I get it right?
Yeah, it's not really a prison channel per se. People tell them stories, maybe have had interaction with jail time. But we have a lot of people who are entrepreneurs, people who have overcome adversity, who have turned their life around, who are basically mentors or inspirational stories, and just kind of being more of a positive vibe, you know, and we're not glamorizing prison. You know, a lot of prison people that call themselves prison channels, they glamorize prison, you know, the tattoos, the violence, the, you know, just hanging out stuff. And there's nothing to glamorize about prison.
It's not very interesting to me either. Like hearing fight stories and stuff is not.
No, it's not. Just, who cares?
It's not interesting.
No. You know, there's nothing to be said for somebody who was in a riot and you came out and survived. I mean, I'd prefer never have seen any of that stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
what's interesting to me about it is, having said all that, like, you know, it is called Fresh Out. You do, like, you, like, kind of reject so much of that lifestyle mentality, yet also it's part of the channel. So how did you kind of arrive at the concept for the channel? And
Sitting in prison, basically just brainstorming ideas. I had a journal. I'd write down all type of business ideas I had and what I was going to do when I got out. And I knew I wanted to get back into something to do with movie or television as far as production. And I just sat there and I had an epiphany. I'm like, man, I've seen these guys watching Cops. And I'm like, man, I can't believe these guys are in prison and I'm watching Cops. They're already locked up. And I'm like, man, I need to come out with
a show.
Do you
really like this that much?
Yeah, I'm like, dude, this is like insane. You know, you guys are just fascinated. And I'm looking at the mentality of a lot of the people in there. I'm like, I need to come out with a show that shows what life is after for a lot of these people. And, you know, what, you know, how people have changed and what they've experienced, and to share that. So I came up with the show. And then when I got out, I hooked up with my business partner and we kind of like developed the idea further.
And you've been doing it since what, 2014?
2013.
13, okay. Yeah. And you talked to probably, I mean, probably a couple hundred people now, right?
Quite a few people. I think we have over, I want to say over 600 videos, which are a combination of interviews, cooking shows, some entrepreneur stuff, and prison talks.
What are some of the people, like looking back and all that, what are some of the stories that have really stood out and made an impact on you?
Well, I think more or less the impact is on the public for myself. I try to screen the individuals we interviewed from day one for people who are doing something with their life now. I don't care that, you know, just because you did time doesn't mean you're going to be on our show, or we're going to have you on here glamorizing, you know, your gang banging or your gang activity. We're more or less, if we're interviewing people, it's because they've made a dramatic change. Cali Muscle, you know, he was our first interview. YouTube sensation. He's done a lot of positive with his life. The guy, Larry, we interviewed, he's got his own gym, you know, a successful personal trainer, you know, doing big things with his life. You know, these are people who have made a big impact on the people who have watched their interviews. So we try to focus more on their personality rather than what they did in prison, mm-hmm. what they're doing now.
Yeah, that's what I think is interesting about it. And just to back up to something you touched on a minute ago, what made you, from how you talked about it, you made a really conscious decision from day one to use your time as productively as you could and focus on self-improvement. What do you think it was that enabled you to focus like that versus other people who, you know, go astray and get wrapped up in even more dumb shit?
Well, I did a lot of reflection. See, most people that go to prison, they don't do any reflection. They're there and they're just hanging out. They're listening to music, they're playing games, they're gambling, they're caught up on TV, the politics. I didn't care about any of that. I didn't care about what anybody was doing, what so-and-so said, who was doing this on the yard, who was selling dope. I didn't focus on any of that. I focused on how the hell did I get there? What were the choices I made in my life that led to me sitting in this place with people doing five life sentences, with people who will kill you because you don't give them back their honey bun? You know, what would, you know, sitting in the wrong chair and get your throat slashed? How did I get here? So I did reflection exercises every day, and I accepted responsibility, but also looked to change so I didn't repeat that. A lot of people don't do that. People, they don't want to accept responsibility, and they're just living in the moment.
And again, from what you said before, it sounds like you took advantage of basically every opportunity that you had there, as far as people that could teach you something, the law library. Can you talk a little bit about kind of how you found those and what you did with them?
Well, once you realize how you operate as a spirit, everything's on a vibrational pattern. So once I realized what my vibrational pattern was and the energy I sent out to the world, I realized that I had been operating on such a low frequency that I attracted a lot of negative energy. So once I got rid of that and I realized how to hone in my energy force, I was able to attract other people in prison who were on similar vibrational pattern, which they were already on the time of writing books, being spiritual, studying in a law library, learning about the law, learning about business. These people, you attract each other. Same thing on the street. Success hangs around success. And so you can find successful people in prison who are on the same page, but you have to realize, you know, what your environment consists of and what you're sending out into the universe. I didn't understand any of that before I got locked up.
Yeah, it's very true that like attracts like. I think about, you know, 10 years ago when I was doing a lot more dumb shit than I am now, I was always found myself around people like that. And I was like, why am I always around people like that? Well, guess what? Because I was one of them, you know? Mm-hmm. And those people, I'm never around those people anymore. I didn't consciously make an effort to like avoid them. They just avoid me because it's like you said, it's like magnets. Just
that's right.
Attract or repel.
That's right. That's right. You people will gravitate toward likeness. And if you're some tough guy or you're looking for violence, violence will find you because it feels that you're seeking a reciprocal. So therefore, you'll find what you're looking for.
It sounds like hippie mumbo jumbo stuff, but it's just real. It's how real. It works.
It's real. And a lot of people aren't conscious enough because they're not separated from the world to see that we're spiritual beings first. Everything else, material, comes secondary. And once you can realize that, you can decipher the two.
Hello out there.
Yes, hello out there, everyone. I'm Hal Schwartz.
And I'm Flynn McClain. Together, we host None But the Brave, a podcast dedicated to the music and career of Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce and E Street Band are on tour right now for the first time in 6 years, and we're taking a detailed look at what's happening on stage in our bi-weekly episodes.
We've also been recently joined by some very exciting guests, including rock journalist Warren Zanes and Stephen Hyden, Backstreet's Magazine founder Charles Cross, and Barstool's Kirk Menahan.
If you're a diehard Springsteen fan, this is the show for you.
So please subscribe to None But the Brave on your favorite podcasting platform, and we hope to see you further on up the road.
Thank you so much! We'll be seeing you!
Hey, this is Aaron from No Simple Road. I'm inviting you to come hang out with Apple, Mel, and I as we talk with the musicians, artists, chefs, authors, and beyond from the world that turns us on. We're reaching into the improvisational music scene, the psychedelic culture, the festival world, and getting to know what makes the people tick that create those scenes. Come join us on the long, strange trip over at No Simple Road.
But first, I want to thank DistroKid for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. If you're not familiar, DistroKid is a digital music distribution service that musicians use to put their music into online stores and streaming services. So in plain language, if you have ever wondered how to get your music on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, Amazon, Deezer, Tidal, and many, many more, there's like dozens and dozens of different streaming services, DistroKid is the way to do it. It is super easy. I have used it to put my music on Spotify. It took me maybe 5 minutes to like set it up and upload everything. It's legitimately awesome. I am sincerely a fan of this company and their product. And for those of you who have asked, you can also upload your music to TikTok with DistroKid. And if you want a chance to get featured on DistroKid's Spotify playlists, you can do that by submitting a song through Spotlight and getting your fans to vote for you. You can also use Hyperfollow to get more Spotify followers. You can promote your new release as well as Spotify Canvas. That's where there's the video in the background in the player. And when you share it on Instagram, it shares that video too to make your Spotify release pop. And Spotify Canvas is available to all DistroKid artists. Like I said, as you can probably tell from this, like I am sincerely a fan of DistroKid. DistroKid can do everything I just talked about and so much more. So be sure to sign up with my link, which is in the show notes for this episode, to get 7% off your first year. That link is in the show notes of this episode, or go to distrokid.com/VIP/thepunkrockNBA. And thanks again to DistroKid for sponsoring this episode.
Well, because one of the things I want to get out of this interview is I want people to watch this and go, as somebody who has their freedom, I'm assuming that everyone watching this, like, let's assume you're able-bodied and all that. You have all the opportunity in the world. And yet there are people watching this who aren't taking advantage, who are doing less with their lives than you were when you were in prison. So can you talk about like specifically some of the things that you sought out? I think you talked before about, you know, some guys were locked up for white collar crime that you sought out and stuff and learned from them.
Well, you have to find out where you want to be in life and where your comfort zone, what you feel success is. For success, for some people might be making $60,000 a year. That might be your max. You might be cool, you know. You're being able to put a roof over your head, you got a good job, maybe you got some benefits. That's your level, your vision of success. For the next man, it might be a billion, you know, it might be 10 billion. It might not be a cap on that. You know, he might want to own property on Mars. So you have to figure out what is your comfort zone. And then from there, you seek out knowledge to help you attain that level of success. For myself, I don't have no cap. I'm not glass ceiling. I don't have, you know, I'm not going to just say that I live for materialism, but I live to basically reach my highest level while I'm here on the earth. And my highest level has no limits. It's not capped out at, you know, a certain amount. So by doing that, I was able to gravitate towards people who taught me about LLCs, or people who taught me about real estate, people who taught me how to, about writing books, you know, doing movie scripts, you know, people who were also seeking, you know, a certain level of success, and therefore we were like-minded. But, you know, there's nothing that the feds taught me. I taught myself. I educated myself. I rehabilitated myself. I focused on becoming the best me I could, rather than letting them, you know, go to these, one of these classes and have some wife of some ex-felon sit there and tell me about her old man, or somebody tell me, you know, when you get out, you better be lucky to get a job. Man, I wasn't trying to hear that shit, man.
Yeah.
So I didn't even entertain that. People who weren't trying to, like, have, you know, a certain level of growth within themselves, I didn't even talk to them. And, you know, a lot of people called me, you know, thought I was stuck up or whatever. But, hey, man, you know, I'm not on your page. You're here and I'm here, but don't mean we're in the same mentality.
I'm not here to earn your approval.
No. And I'm not here to be your friend, to hang up just because we're doing time together. And, you know, everybody that I associated with that was on the same spiritual path, I'm still in touch with them to this day. And they're all successful and they're on the streets.
Well, speaking of that, one of the things I wanted to ask you about also is, you know, in my world, there are like a certain number of people, been around people who basically think it's cool to act like a thug. And the problem is that once they act like it for a little while, they oftentimes find themselves getting in a little bit over their head and like, oh shit, I got myself into something that now I'm going to have a hard time getting myself out of. They realize it's real when they're in the back of a cop car and now it's not an act anymore. So for somebody like, you know, one of my friends or something like that, that thinks it's cool to, you know, to play, pretend like you're a thug, what would you say to that person?
What's so cool about it? You know, what do you think is, what's so cool about thinking that you're this tough guy and you want to, you know, pack a gun, or you want to, you know, run up in somewhere with a ski mask? I mean, what's so cool about it? You tell me. You know what I mean? Those are jackasses. You know, the people that when you really get to talking to some of the people and you see, like, this dude is really out of his mind. Most, you know, when you start talking to some people who that's all they live for was getting up in the morning, robbing a bank, spending the money, doing it again, spending the money. They had no concept of what it meant to invest or to build something. It's just crime was their life. So for you guys pretending, once you get caught up in that and then you get subject to the politics, you're going to think twice. You're going to be like, oh, I got myself into something like Snitch 9, you know, the rapper who around, you know, being a blood. And then he was disrespecting every neighborhood and ordering all type of shit. And then when it happened, oh, my God, I don't like this. I'm going to have to do time. I'm going to tell on everybody. And so you're going to be one of those guys who are going to start telling. And you think there's no repercussions, but somebody's going to find out you're a snitch and then they're going to cut your throat. So the best thing to do is be a square. Find you somebody that loves you. Get you a relationship with a woman. You know, create a family. Get a job. You know, go to a trade school. And, you know, being tough, it's not all that. It's not. I didn't request that. I lived a life that I got involved in things and just I gradually acclimated into that. But it wasn't like, you know, oh, man, I'm going to be this tough guy. Didn't nobody run around my neighborhood being tough. You either were or you weren't. Nobody even said you were tough. You didn't tell somebody you were alpha male. You just knew, oh, that dude right there, he'll bust your head. You knew. You just felt that dude, he's no joke. He got hands. You wasn't like, oh, man, I got hands. I'm a gangster. Oh, I got it. Man, you know, dude was always packing. He didn't even say, you didn't even have to talk about it. A real gangster speaks nothing, says nothing, doesn't talk on about it. It's just, you know. And when it's done, it's already done. It's too late.
So if you're one of the people like my friends that finds himself on the wrong side of one of these people, that's when you're going to realize
you're
going to
get the wig split. You're going to get your wigs, but you get around some real gangsters. You come out here to Cali with that mess and you get up in these penitentiary or one of these little systems and you happen to get like involved in something that you shouldn't have. You're going to see what real gangsterism is, because there's some dudes in there. They don't care. You're going to do what it's a dictatorship. Like Wes said, you know what I mean? Wes Watson, you're going to do what they tell you. And if there's any bucking in it, you're going to get bucked.
It's a great interview, by the way. Wes Watson, definitely check that one out. He's got like three or something.
Yeah,
videos.
Three or four Prison Talks with us in the interview.
Excellent ones. Really good. Wanted to kind of talk about another thing that it seems like you've made a conscious effort on your channel to kind of bring people together who, I mean, you've got like Norteños and Sereños, you got black guys, you got white guys that on the inside would not really be able to associate, even on the streets sometimes wouldn't associate. Is that a conscious effort on your part, or is that just kind of naturally how you roll? Or?
Well, it's bridging the gap, man, with communications. You know, I mean, you're a white guy, so you can't talk me in the pan. You can't sit over here and touch this because I touched it. I mean, how ignorant is that?
And for anybody who doesn't know, it's really that.
Yeah, in the state, it's really like that. You know, you can't work out with this dude because he's white, or you can't talk to this guy because he's from up north. You can't, I mean, how stupid is that? And they got you believing that. While they're running the system, you're so caught up on all this little, these little rules and regulations, but you come out here on the street, we can get money together. We can make a business together. I mean, who, you know, what's dictating why you can't associate inside, but on the street, it's like, it's all about growth and prosperity. Because once you're inside, there's rules. There's things you have to do. There's things you, even if you wanted to do, you couldn't do. So that's why I said prison is not for anybody unless you're a straight dummy and you like going and doing stupid stuff. And then there are some people who need to be there because if they were out here, they need to, you know, they're just not able to function in society. But for the most part, I try to show that, man, we all have a lot in common. You know, a lot of conversation can change a lot of things. You can open a lot of doors, and, you know, sharing your story and hearing from different people puts a different perspective so we can all get a better understanding and hopefully save some lives.
I'm sure you have. Another thing, kind of the overarching theme of the channel, I think, is that your future is always in your hands. And there's been times in my life, times in other people's lives I know, where they felt like it was too late, like they made some mistake, whether that's financial or legal, or they fucked up a relationship, whatever it is, and they're like, it's too late, fuck it, I'm just going to let myself go down the drain. What would you say to that person that feels like it's too late for them to basically put their life on a happy path?
I say either step up or go lay down. If you want to be one of those people that say, oh, woe me, I'm too old. Oh, I can't do this. I don't have the resources. Oh, I was born with this because I can't have this. Oh, my family don't have this. And you're sorry, man. You're pathetic. You know, go ahead and wallow in your sorrows. But I don't have time for that, man. I don't have time to entertain people like that. It's like you either want to have success, you want to have something that makes yourself proud to be who you are so you can share with your kids and you can and basically grow your legacy, or you want to be a loser in life. One or two. Either you want to be successful, and I'm not saying you got to be successful and be like this billionaire, but I'm saying successful as far as being a good role model to your children, to your wife, taking care of your business, you know, not robbing, stealing, and pilfering and doing things that aren't, you know, becoming, you know. So it's to me, when you sit around and complain, and you know what I do? I'll block this number, block this number, delete, block. You know, I don't talk to them. You're not going to drain me.
I think of it like an infection.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, if I'm near you and you're negative, you're going to infect me with
They're spiritual vampires.
Yeah, I can't be near you.
Mental midgets. I leave them alone. I let them go ahead and socialize with the other mental midgets and let them drain each other, man. But you're not going to pull from my energy source and worry me with your pity. Because, dude, I it's like, look at this, man. We're in Beverly Hills. Right. Life is, you have so many options. You can get up tomorrow and you can say, you know what? I'm going to move. I'm just going to pack my stuff up and leave. I don't have to go to work. Who said you have to go?
Yep.
You can go do anything. You can set you up an e-commerce business on your smartphone and be doing business from the beach. You know, it just depends on how much ambition you have, and you can't teach ambition. You either have it or you don't. No, and a lot of people lock themselves up out here on the streets.
Exactly.
Relationships. You know, how many people have you seen and these guys get relationships because they don't want to, you know, go for the legal, legitimate divorce proceeding? They kill their wife and kids. I mean, dude, you know, shoot the baby mama, don't want to have the kid. I mean, God, is that bad? You don't want to pay child support? You don't want to pay alimony? You're that scared that you're going to hurt her feelings that you don't want to leave and just go be happy, so you're going to murder everybody? I mean, people do so many stupid, oh, this guy, he bullied me, so you're going to go up here and shoot up a church. I mean, dude, why? You want to throw your life away because somebody made you upset? It's like you have so many choices, so many options. There's so much. Why would you lock yourself up in the house, sit around all day with a video game console on your forehead, sit playing video games? Get out and socialize. Meet people, man. Interact. Realize there's life, you know. You don't have to be locked up on the street. When I was growing up, I never heard of depression and anxiety. No damn depression and anxiety. What are you depressed about? Get out there and go play basketball. Go run up there. Get out the house. You were not sitting in the house. Nowadays, oh, this guy, he's depressed. He's scared to leave the house. What? Come on, man. It's pathetic, man. People are so scared, living fear-based. And once you get caught up in fear, you stop living life. You know, fear is one of the enemies of life. And what do you have to fear, man? You have so many choices. You could travel the world. It's limitless when you get out here. I remember every day I sit in prison and fantasize, like, man, I look at the truck driving around the prison and the guy be sitting in there, he's looking at you with a gun and you're thinking all these fences and you're like, man, where could I be at right now? Why do I have to be here? You look around and all these, you just look around all the barbarians. You're just looking around at people in prison. You're like, why am I here, man? Why can't I just somehow wish myself out of here? And you can't wish yourself out of there. You got to do the time. You got to maneuver. And, you know, when you get out, you just got to make the right choices.
Well, let's talk YouTube for a minute, because you have achieved something that I think it's like something, I looked it up, and something, there's only like 6,000 channels or something that have hit 400,000 subscribers. And that's out of like, there's 2 billion accounts on YouTube. So you've done something that only a few, like a tiny, tiny fraction has done. What are the keys that you have found for anyone out there who's watching that wants to start a YouTube channel? What are like the most successful things you've done to grow the channel?
Just try to be consistent with content and put out content that is conscious. I mean, for our channel, I mean, if we were doing more parodies, more shuck and juck, more mm-hmm. more comedy stuff, we'd probably have more views. If I was acting really stupid, we'd have probably over a million views or subscribers already. But I try to keep a certain mind frame when I'm putting together stuff, and it's just who I am. I can't sell myself out like that. So we would have grown probably a lot faster, but you know, we just been consistently putting out the content, you know, putting a message out there, and people recognize. So it's starting to take on us. It took on some momentum.
Yeah, dude, I'm sure that there are probably like hundreds, if not thousands, of lives that you guys have legitimately changed by people who were considering doing X and they heard you say something and they're like, you know what, maybe I'm not going to do that.
We've definitely had a lot of kids email us from all over the world. I've had people like in colleges that watch our show in college with their teachers, people sharing our videos in correctional institutions. So we have affected a lot of people. A lot of law enforcement watch our show. Because I don't bash law enforcement. I just say, man, hey, it's education. It's learning to communicate. Because, you know, even if this guy's a good apple, but he sees all these bad apples, what does that make him? When you don't, that's like me being involved in a clique and I see them about to do something to some old person or to somebody and harm them. If I don't stop that act, what am I? I'm a part of that. I'm a conspirator. So they're conspirators too when they sit there and watch somebody beat somebody down. That's unjustified. So I just try to create conscious awareness, and our channel is all about creating this so we can have dialogue to create a more humane environment for all of us.
So you do kind of a mix of content, which a lot of people say not to do on YouTube, but it seems to work for you. You know, like you said, you got the interviews, you got the cooking shows, you've got just kind of some opinion pieces from yourself. Is there one of those that like tends to work more than others, or?
Well, for our channel, fresh out, the interviews are always great. People love to hear the stories. We do a lot of the prison talk stuff just to kind of not glorify, but to let you know what you don't know, what Hollywood doesn't tell you. So it kind of puts that message out there. And then on my other channel, which is Big Kirk 916, I do positivity and motivational stuff. So I talk about relationships. I talk about dealing with anxiety, being frustrated with life, cars, things that are outside of prison, things that, you know, the normal person could relate to. So I try to have a variety and kind of touch on both. But, it's just the main draw in is, yeah, this guy's been to prison, but at the end of the day, there's life outside of that. And it's not, prison is nowhere you want to go to get a tattoo to come out like you're this tough guy. Man, get a tattoo down the street, man.
I like some happy. Of the, you got a few questions a while ago. People like, should I go to prison to get tougher?
It's crazy, man. Like what people think of, you know, their vision of prison.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I tell you, man, I hindsight's 50-50, but if I could have made some different choices, and you never know even what those choices, what direction I would have went in, but I wish I would have focused more on, like, association, my friends, the people that I hung out with, and my education and having a mentor to kind of teach me more about business and stuff like that, rather than the streets, you know, the big homies, the guys who were ex gang members or drug dealers. You know, it's I wish I didn't went down that path. I would never want my child to go through what I went through.
It doesn't seem like you have regret, though, if that makes sense. I mean, obviously, maybe you would have done some things differently, but it doesn't seem like you're, you know, hung up on that like a lot of people are.
No, I mean, I can't be mad at the experience because of where I am today and being able to have this show. If I wouldn't have lived that life, I wouldn't have been able to share a genuine story. You know, I've been in a lot of situations, and I never, like I said, tried to be some gangster, but I was a gangster, man. I was doing a lot of gangster stuff, but then I also have been to suburbia. I've been around the Orange County privileged, you know, kids who never even been in a fist fight, you know. So I've seen that, and I've seen the two extremes, and being able to reflect back on that has allowed me to share my story and help a lot of people in the process.
Yeah, I think that's really like what, to me, like what's special about the channel is that you are able to like connect with such a wide variety of people, which is a rare thing, especially now when people tend to just focus, you know, on people who are exactly like them and never branch out beyond that.
Yeah, that's one of my things is like, you know, I got fans in Australia, Canada, you know, white guys, you know. Then I got the guy who's Asian who said, hey, man, I told my son to watch your channel. He wouldn't listen to me, and he's like, dude, it's working, you know? So I got people from all over, Philippines, China, and it's not about race, man. That's what people don't realize. It's not about this. It's not about this. It's about this. It's about comprehension. It's about consciousness. It's about understanding and sharing. You can learn from anybody. I can learn from a Chinese guy. I can learn from a Korean. I can learn from somebody who's Native American. I can learn from somebody who's German, who's from a Russian. You know, you can learn from anybody. It's just, are you willing to listen? Mm-hmm. Everybody has something to share. It's just whether or not you're receptive.
I liked what Badger said. I think in one of your videos, maybe it was one of his, I don't know. But this isn't for people who want it, or this isn't for people who need it. This is for people who want it. You got to want it.
Yeah, you got to be open to dialogue. You got to be open to change. You know, it's all about evolving. I mean, life, you're constantly evolving. I mean, I would hope with anybody I met 10 years ago, I'm not the same person. You know, if you're the same person at 10 years ago, then what have you done with your life?
People are like, you changed, man. Or like, yeah, I did.
You're supposed to. I would assume, you know, you're not still doing the same stupid
unless
stuff.
Unless I was perfect 10 years ago, which I wasn't.
You know, that's what life's all about. So it's all about evolving and evolution.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I've taken up enough of your time. I guess what's kind of next for the channel? I know you talked about potentially some TV stuff.
The big jump for us is going to be taking our channel to a major network as far as a streaming platform, a cable platform where we can really speak our voice. So we're not limited as far as what we can talk about and the topics we can share with everybody. And also, you know, for myself, it's more mentoring young people, life coaching, and really getting out here and building a brand, the Fresh Out brand and the Big Perk 916 brand, you know, and helping people and changing lives, being a positive influence for people who need that mentor.
Cool. Well, there you go. You heard it. Fresh Out series on Instagram, and yours is Big Herc 916.
Big Herc 916.
And Fresh Out series on YouTube. Yeah, you can look it up on YouTube. So cool. Well, thank you very much for doing this, and check it out.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, my friends, that does it for this episode of the podcast. If you made it this far, thank you. Thank you for listening. We sincerely appreciate each and every one of you. If you want to help the show, there's a couple things that you can do. First of all, share it on social media. If you share it, tag us, tag Finn McKenty, that's me, and tag Deanna Chapman, that's a producer. Second thing you can do, if you really, really, really love us and really want to support us, you can support us on Patreon. There's a link to that in the show notes. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you're listening to this, or you can do none of that. And you can just sit at home thinking about how awesome this podcast is. That works too. Again, thank you very much to each and every one of you for listening. We sincerely appreciate it, and we'll see you next time.
Hey, this is Chris Swinney, formerly of the Ataris and currently host of That One Time on Tour, part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Have you ever wondered what it's really like on the road? The highs can be euphoric, but the lows can be crushing. Join me every week as I chat with industry pros about what it's like living out their wildest dream and, in some cases, their worst nightmare. Past guests of the show include members of NoFX, Pennywise, Bad Religion, and more. Listen and subscribe at SoundTalentMedia.com.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.